Something in the pot was bubbling, and it smelled more like one of Mrs. Murray's chemical messes than something to eat. In a dilapidated Boston rocker sat a plump little woman. She wasn't Mrs. Watsit. So she must, Meg decided, be one of Mrs. Watsit's two friends. She wore enormous spectacles, twice as thick and twice as large as Meg's, and she was sewing busily with rapid, jabbing stitches on a sheet. Several other sheets lay on the dusty floor. Charles Wallace went up to her. "I really don't think you ought to have taken Mrs. Buncombe's sheets without consulting me," he said, as cross and bossy as only a very small boy can be. "What on earth do you want them for?" The plump little woman beamed at him. "Why, Charlesie, my pet! Le cœur a ses raisons que la raison ne connaît point. French. Pascal. The heart has its reasons whereof reason knows nothing." "But that's not appropriate at all," Charles said crossly. "Your mother would find it so." A smile seemed to gleam through the roundness of spectacles. "I'm not talking about my mother's feelings about my father," Charles Wallace scolded. "I'm talking about Mrs. Buncombe's sheets." The little woman sighed. The enormous glasses caught the light again and shone like an owl's eyes. "In case we need ghosts, of course," she said. "I should think you'd have guessed. If we have to frighten anybody away, what's it thought we ought to do it appropriately? That's why it's so much fun to stay in a haunted house. But we really didn't mean you to know about the sheets."
Auf frische Tapt, ertappt, German.
In flagrante delicto, Latin. Caught in the act, English. As I was saying...
But Charles Wallace held up his hand in a peremptory gesture. "Mrs. Who, do you know this boy?" Calvin bowed. "Good afternoon, ma'am. I didn't quite catch your name." "Mrs. Who will do," the woman said. "He wasn't my idea, Charlesy, but I think he's a good one." "Where's Mrs. What's-it?" Charles asked.
"She's busy. It's getting near time, Charlesy, getting near time. Ab honesto virum bonum nil deterret. Seneca. Nothing deters a good man from doing what is honorable.
And he's a very good man, Charlesy, darling. But right now he needs our help."
"Who?" Meg demanded.
"And little Megsy. Lovely to meet you, sweetheart. Your father, of course. Now go home, loves. The time is not yet ripe. Don't worry. We won't go without you. Get plenty of food and rest. Feed Calvin up. Now, off with you. Justitiae soror fides. Latin again, of course. Faith is the sister of justice. Trust in us. Now, shoo!"
And she fluttered up from her chair and pushed them out the door with surprising power.
"Charles," Meg said, "I don't understand."
Charles took her by the hand and dragged her away from the house. Fortinbras ran on ahead, and Calvin was close behind them.
"No," he said, "I don't either yet. Not quite. I'll tell you when I know as soon as I can. But you saw Fort, didn't you? Not a growl. Not a quiver. Just as though there weren't anything strange about it. So you know it's okay.
Look, do me a favor, both of you. Let's not talk about it till we've had something to eat. I need fuel so I can sort things out and assimilate them properly."
"Lead on, moron," Calvin cried gaily. "I've never even seen your house, and I have the funniest feeling that for the first time in my life I'm going home."